It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on Thorn in the Side Thursday for this 23rd day of May 2019. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us. It's also the handiest, easiest way to get the podcast if you're not listening live. Just go over to podcast.headon.live and it's all right there waiting for you at your convenience. Okay? Just a reminder. And also there at HeadOn.live, you'll find the chat room link. And if you pick out a screen name and a password, if you never have before, you'll be greeted this evening by Anatole and Otto and Squeaky and more to come. I'm sure before the tardy bell can even ring. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space this afternoon to become Man Cave. Yes. So we're all set and ready to go, and we take note of those moments of real monumental stupidity that just make us want to eat dirt and run rabbits, and that serve as thorns in our side on Thorn in the Side Thursday. But every program here begins with thanks, because it is the community that wants this program to continue who keep it going. So thanks go out to our subscribers for the 23rd day of the month. If you'd like to be a subscriber, you can always you can go to contribute.headon.live. And or just go to HeadOn.live and click on the fundraising tab there, and about one more click away, and there's a little box you can check that says make this a recurring monthly donation. And golly Moses, for less than half the cost of one of those wee tiny little hash brown patties at McDonald's in the morning, per show, less than 45 cents per show, you can help keep the program on the air. Someday maybe we'll have $410 a month subscribers. We're nowhere near that, but it would be nice to get closer. And I'm sure that Stacy and our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow and Charlene and Philip in Charlene in Rhode Island and Philip in Maryland would be glad to have your company for the 23rd of the month, or they'd be glad to see you be a subscriber on the 24th of the month. Any way you care to square it up. And thanks this afternoon to Frank for getting us started for the evening. The fundraising goal was 470. It's now 445. Thank you, Frank. Thank you very kindly. And a note to begin the program from Tom in the Bay Area in Richmond. Tom says, let's call this $100 challenge the, all caps, please stop raining already in Northern California challenge. It's been ridiculous here. We got over 4.5 inches of rain last week. That doesn't happen in May. Well, it didn't used to happen in May, Tom, doggone it. But Welcome to the great Chinese hoax that is climate change, and you may see some rainy Mays henceforward. You may see a lot of things that you didn't really anticipate. But the please stop raining already in California challenge is on the table to the tune of $100. And if we can meet that, if there are 10 people with $10 or whatever, then the we will be down to $2.45 to get us even through this evening. And that would mean that we'd be caught up all the way, and then a $45 more would catch us up all the way through yesterday, which would be tremendous. Yeah. So thanks very much, Tom. And hopefully maybe that atmospheric river, that was the term I saw used for it, will flow on elsewhere. You know, I read the story about the atmospheric river over Northern California, Southern Oregon, and so forth. And it reminded me of what it's like in the early morning hours this time of year crossing the New River Gorge. It's one of those things that makes living here so special. You know, being just a few miles away from the gorge and having that magnificent example of engineering and architecture crossing it from one mountaintop to the other with 876 feet of air beneath you. During the night, it's almost as if the New River, the second oldest river on Earth, the last vestigial remains of the great Tays River, which was the first great river on the planet, that crossed east to west across Pangaea once upon a time. In those early morning hours as you cross the gorge, it is as if the river itself is getting up out of its banks and going walkabout, because the fog that rises from the river tracks the shape of the river itself through the gorge, and it is as though it's rising up to meet you. What in God's name am I doing up at an hour like that? Well, lately I've been doing, and you know, I've told you, I've been kind of worn out, because Agnes and I are getting up at 5:30 in the morning because Ferg has a new job. And we have to have him on site by 7, and there's only one family vehicle, and he works a 12-hour shift. So, consequently, got to get up and transport. So that's why we're up. And it makes you kind of tired by this time of the day. But we do get to see this area at its most beautiful, in that what the photographers and the painters call the golden hour. There's two golden hours a day. There's one in the morning and one in the evening. Well, the one in the morning is really, really special in the New River Gorge. So if you catch me yawning, you'll know why. And it's a great schedule, too, because it runs that way through the weekend. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe someday I'll get to finally finish the repairs on the other vehicle, but that ain't going to happen anytime soon. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Running hot on both thorny streams, Botanist Bob. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you very much for all you do to make one of those streams be so doggone bulletproof. Much obliged indeed. So, where to begin? Well, we've got, because we always do, we've got news of the madness of King Dong that we can go to, and we will. But I do like to provide us a bit of a, well, not a respite, but just a look at some other news, because, goddammit, the narcissist in chief is not the only thing happening in the world. Not by a long shot. Thank you to Ralphs, by the way. Thank you to Ralphs for jumping in on Tom's challenge. That means we got $90 to go. Thank you very kindly, Ralphs. And Ralphs would love to have some company so as not to be sitting there all alone. But, and hey, could we maybe try to do this before the half hour? And that gives us a fighting chance to do the rest of it. That'd be wonderful. So, anyway, thorns in the side. Let's start with some literal food porn. Only not in a good way. Not in the me and Todd talking about barbecue. No. The Memorial Day weekend is upon us. And so, naturally, because corporate food supply, if you're planning on grilling a steak or doing a brisket, you better go and check your label. Because what is left of the United States Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service has put out a recall for 62,000 pounds of raw beef. Man, that's a lot of steak tartare. Maybe pass on the steak tartare if it's on offer this Memorial Day weekend. The beef is it was packaged by the Aurora Packing Company of North Aurora, Illinois, on April the 19th, but it was shipped all over the country for distribution and sale. On that purple USDA stamp, or the USDA mark of inspection, the letters and numbers EST period 788, which stand for establishment number 788, are on over 40 products, like steak, including ribeyes, beef ribs, and of course, brisket. This is a public service of the horn, because I don't want anybody getting all E. coli'd. If you go to FSIS, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, I as in Iota, S as in Sam, FSIS.USDA.gov, you will find the entire list. And there is, like I said, 62,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. Which is disturbing. So if you're going to be doing something out on the grill, or hell, just frying it in the pan, check to make sure that it doesn't have that mark. And if you bought meat since April 19th and stuck it in the freezer, you better check that too, because it's filthy with E. coli. Which, of course, we understand it happens when corporate America, big meat, somehow manages to not be able to keep from exposing raw meat to poop. So there you go. Just a word to the wise is sufficient. And then into something far more stupid. Um, Otto, meanwhile, Otto in the chat room saying, 62,000 pounds of bad beef sent onto the fuckwad. He could use some free hamburgers. He is, after all, Brokahontas. Oh, by the way, not everybody who got served a subpoena by the Congress decided to be assholes about it. Oh, no. No. I'm sure there are reasons to hate them. But let's at least give credit where credit is due. Auntie Maxine, Chairman Maxine Waters of the Financial Services Committee of the House, the chair there, whose committee gave Ben Oreo Carson such a headache the other day. She issued subpoenas for financial files, and she issued them to Wells Fargo and TD Bank. And son of a gun, guess what happened? Wells Fargo and TD Bank, either somebody dropped the ball at the White House and didn't notice it, or they thought, well, they asked Nitwit Nero, and he said, no, I don't really have any business with them. What the fuck? Let him have it. And so Wells Fargo and TD Bank did not get sued by the Trump crime organization. And instead, they just turned over the documents. According to NBC News, who broke the story, Wells Fargo turned over a few thousand documents, and TD Bank provided what was referred to as a handful, whatever that means. I think a handful is something less than a passel and maybe a little bit more than a bunch. So maybe at some point in time we'll find out what kind of skeevy business is in there, or maybe there's none there. You know, maybe there's nothing there. Meanwhile, the subpoenas for Deutsche Bank and Citibank Bank, and the subpoena for Mazars in particular, the subpoena for Mazars has been put on hold by agreement of the parties, both the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and that really terrible lawyer for the Trump crime family and the Trump criminal organizations, pending July 12th arguments before the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, that three-judge panel that we talked about last night, two normal human beings, plus Naomi Rao, weirdo Trump appointee freak. And after that, depending on how they rule, the Supreme Court may not even hear it, at which point there will be, maybe Trump will reprise his famous statement made when Robert Mueller was appointed special counsel.
I'm fucked.
Right. So that's just kind of a little bit of an update. But anyway, stupid, thorns in the side. If you live in the Northeast, or if you live, say, in California, and you've gone out for you've had on your grocery list stalk or bunch of celery, you may have noticed that the price of celery has shot through the roof. And maybe you've even wondered why that would be. Maybe there was a shortage of celery because of E. coli or salmonella or listeria. No, nothing that desperate. this time through. Just stupid. Really, really astonishingly stupid. There's a celery craze now because this country has influencers over on Instagram. It goes back, and by the way, thanks very kindly to Dr. John for pointing this one out. He noted the that thing that I've said from time to time, that the word believe is the most dangerous word in the English language. So here's the first couple of paragraphs from the story in the Los Angeles Times. On a recent Saturday afternoon, shoppers at Erewhon, E-R-E-W-H-O-N, I got nothing, Erewhon Market on Beverly Boulevard, made a beeline to the produce aisle to stock up on bundles of organic celery. Others waited patiently at the health food store's cold-pressed juice bar to order 16 ounces of the fibrous green vegetable in liquid form. Tall, cool glass of juiced celery, which from a nutritional standpoint has almost no nutritional value whatsoever. The reason? A growing, and there's that word, belief that celery juice may be the key to treating dozens of chronic ailments ranging from eczema to migraines, and that belief is due largely to the influence of one man named Anthony William, who refers to himself as, wait for it, get the hockey puck, quick trip around with the duct tape, the medical medium. No, really. Dude has celery seances. He says there's a spirit that comes to him because he can handle it, and told him about the miraculous effects of celery juice. Now, let's bear in mind that the medical medium, Anthony William, is not a medical professional. He's not a doctor, he's not a nurse, he's not a chemist, a biologist, a microbiologist, nothing. Yeah, see, Steve in New York has had the same comic thought that I did. Pshaw, I'm the medical extra large. I win. Well, I'm the medical 2X. Got you licked. I mean, you know what I mean. Yes, yes, all over Southern California, celebrities taking the advice of a dude on Instagram are driving the cost of celery through the roof. Kim Kardashian is responsible in large part because there are a lot of people in the United States of America who see her Instagram posts and think that she has anything at all to say that's even remotely intelligent, when in fact she's a fucking idiot whose entire existence is predicated on being famous for being famous. But it's not all Kim Kardashian, because the woman who convinced other women to stick rocks in their vaginas, that's right, Gwyneth Paltrow, well, she's on the celery juice bandwagon, too. Look, I got nothing against celery. I won't make deviled eggs without celery. You know, you got to deal with the strings and the pulling, and then you split it and you split it again, and then you chop it in really, really fine, a really, really super fine dice, almost down to a mince, and you work that into your deviled egg mix along with some, maybe some spicy hot dill pickle. A little bit of super fine minced onion. Mustard powder to make it deviled, because remember, the evangelicals call them angel eggs. No, really, we did that story. Celery is a sine qua non to the essential flavor of a Bloody Mary. I love the taste of celery in any number of dishes. But no haint has ever tried to convince me that it'll fucking cure eczema, because it won't. There's nothing there to do that. And shame on the Los Angeles Times for covering this grifty little freak as if it was a legitimate story. Damn. The medical medium was interviewed at length by the LA Times, and he said, this is about going to the store, buying something no one cared about in the past, and putting it through your juicer and getting butter. Actually, he probably doesn't talk like that. He started out as a grocery store guy in Maine. They cite a woman on the street and quote her. She said she's had a little bit of improvement in her acid reflux disorder and other stomach problems over the past year. She doesn't know if the celery helped, but what the fuck? Why not? And she said, I also shop at Trader Joe's, and every single time I want to buy celery, it's always gone. Celery sales at that previously mentioned health food store that I can't pronounce, they've gone up by 350%. Meanwhile, the wholesale cost of celery has jumped by 670%. Farmers have gotten a 670% increase on what they were paid per bunch of celery. It's up to $2.63. And what did Kim Kardashian say? She posted a picture of celery juice and said, celery juice, pretty gross, but saw that the medical medium says it helps psoriasis, so do you rub it on the psoriasis? Does Kim Kardashian have psoriasis? Medical medium says he started hearing voices when he was a young child. And originally the voice told him to give celery juice to a relative because they had a bad back. What the hell kind of relate bad back to psoriasis to acid reflux disorder? Yeah. He started giving nutritional advice when he was a stock boy in his 30s in Maine. And then he moved to Los Angeles, of course, and published a book, Secrets Behind Chronic and Mystery Illness and How to Finally Heal. That's about the time that Gwyneth Paltrow, who encourages women to roast and stick rocks in their vaginas, excerpted a part of his book. And, well, at that point in time, he was a made man. And he insists that the only way it works is if you drink a complete pint of celery juice every morning on an empty stomach. Which he says activates something that never actually has been known to exist. It's sort of the, I don't know, it's sort of the reformed Egyptian of microbiology. He says that they that glass of celery juice triggers sodium cluster salts, which is another way of saying salt cluster salts. I think this dude thinks that there's like ice cream rock salt, some, but just they're just sort of banging along in your bloodstream or in your belly or, oh my Jesus. And the worst thing about this Los Angeles Times article, and in an era when newspapers are failing, and the President of the United States has gone full on to war against the Fourth Estate, this doesn't help. You've got to go way, way down into the article. You got to go past Kim Kardashian and past Gwyneth Paltrow and past the medium before you finally get anything from anybody who knows anything about human health and human diet. Because there's an Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and Vandana Sleth, who is the spokesperson for that group, said, well, they have a large following and they can be very loud. Their message is very seductive because we're all looking for that quick fix. I'm seeing a lot more of a disordered way of eating in my practice. It's not sustainable long term. Meanwhile, the medical medium does what every other hustler and huckster and grifter does. Well, they're just jealous of me because I'm affecting their bottom line. We've got thousands of online testimonials. The gift isn't for me, and I've always made that clear. The gift is for the chronically ill. So they even give him the last word. Shame on them. Shame on the Los Angeles Times for that piece of dreck. And you know what? If you were to make a Venn diagram of stupid, there would be overlap, I'm sure. There would be some degree of overlap between the circle that was celery juice cures everything. And I'm sure Gwyneth Paltrow will be selling a celery stalk carved into a goddamn dildo any day now. But there'd be overlap in the Venn diagram of stupid people between stupid people who are anti-vaxxers and stupid people who think celery can cure everything. But then, you'd have to deal with another circle on the Venn diagram. Stupid people who give their autistic children chlorine bleach enemas. Well, that's true. Brother Deacon Asa says, so you're saying some random D-bag on Instagram single-handedly drove up the price of celery? That's quite the accomplishment, if I may say so myself. Well, it's not just the one guy. He had help from Kim Kardashian and people posting pictures of themselves doing strange things with celery and Gwyneth Paltrow. The worst thing that has ever happened to the reproductive system of American females. But they seem kind of benign compared to people like Amanda Siegler and Melissa Eaton. Melissa Eaton is a 39-year-old single mother from Salisbury, North Carolina. Meanwhile, Amanda Siegler is a mother of six in Lake Worth, Florida. And over the last 3 years, they've been spreading the gospel of chlorine bleach. They've been infiltrating Facebook groups about of parents with of autistic children. And parents of autistic children live with, you know, they would dearly love to find anything. They're sort of desperate to find anything that will help their children. That's the way it is with parenting. And these women prey on them. And in these Facebook groups, you'll find people who say that autism is caused by viruses. Some people will say, no, it's not a virus, it's caused by bacteria. No, you're both wrong. It's not bacteria or viruses. It's caused by fungal infections, fungi. Nah, you're all wrong. It's parasites. Uh-uh. Loser, it's heavy metals. You know, in vaccines. No, it's a general inflammation quality problem. No, it's allergies. No, it's gluten. No, it's the gravitational effect of the moon. Uh-uh. Demons. Some parents treat their autistic children, who in many instances are unable to communicate their displeasure or dislike or horror at being treated with turpentine. Some parents of autistic children make them consume their own urine. And along comes this hustle. Remember the other day when we were talking about the whole, should we teach Arabic numerals in the American classroom? Right, yep. And I mentioned the one the snarky bit of stupidity that Penn and Teller did, running around asking a bunch of idealistic young environmentalists whether dihydrogen monoxide should be banned. And they said, well, yeah. H2O. Mm-hmm. Well, the way they're running the bleach hustle is to call it chlorine dioxide. Chlorine dioxide treatment. Chlorine dioxide therapy. Because it sounds so much better than pour Clorox into your baby's butt. And they've got videos. And they got how-tos. Oh, wait. I made a mistake. Melissa Eaton and Amanda Siegler are actually heroes. They infiltrate the Facebook groups to try to get parents to stop doing these things to their children. I regret the... Yep. But really? Drinking bleach? Bleach enemas? Bleach baths? Eaton and Siegler noted one mother from Kansas who was giving her kid the chlorine dioxide treatment. They got a screen cap of her saying, my son is constantly making a gasping sound. He won't open his mouth. He screams, he spits, he flips over, said another mother. and then Eaton and Siegler turn the parents in to the local Child Protective Services unit. Yeah. So, celery juice, I guess that seems kind of benign compared to tormenting a child who can scarcely communicate with a deadly poison. But it's symptomatic of a sort of cultural failure that's stalking our country. And meanwhile, who's the biggest problem? Facebook, social media generally. Because it's almost impossible to get them to move. And when they do move, one of these private groups gets shut down, boom, another one pops up like mushrooms after a spring rain. And we desperately need real scientific research on autism, because really nobody knows why. But it has spiked. Diagnoses have spiked over the last 10 years. And when the doctors say, we don't know why, well, away the parents go to Mr. Google. And the next thing you know, some poor little kid's getting his guts flushed out with fucking bleach. Fortunately, Ms. Ziegler is scientifically trained. She's a veterinary tech. And she doesn't view autism as a disease, but as rather a, as she puts it, a different way to be. And so that's how she comes at it. The question is, you know, how is poisoning your child not a criminal offense? Because, well, and the problem is, if there's enough, if a given family has enough wealth, they can probably get away with it. On the other hand, you let a poor family get caught doing this, they'll never see their kids again. And instead of, and maybe that's the right thing to do, because when people latch onto something, is this an evolutionary sort of, is this sort of some sort of Darwinian effect, whereby people latching onto an idea have a hard time letting go of it? How many anti-vaxxers who learned the difference have you ever heard of, or who sort of got some science and found out that anti-vaxxing is just a nasty bit of child abuse? There aren't a lot. No. Let's Well, there you go. Let's check the mail. Steve in New York. Why am I waiting for the anti-vaxxers to start citing celery as the natural alternative to vaccines? Oh, it's already a natural alternative, and probably already is among some. Oh, and Steve, going back to the subpoena issue, I don't think I'm all that special and insightful, but my biggest fear is that the courts will uphold the subpoenas and the Trump still won't comply. Then it all comes back to Barr enforcing court orders. Maybe. But then again, isn't the U.S. Marshal Service under the Supreme Court, or is the U.S. Marshal Service under the Attorney General? Because the Marshal Service might be able to... I mean, federal orders can be enforced by the U.S. Marshals, can they not? Meanwhile... making lemonade out of lemons, our buddy Dave from the Blind in Talibandiana says, "Hey, buddy, just add peanut butter to that celery mix and you've got a smoothie." By the way, the beloved Christine says she is the Sultana of sunflower seeds. Peanut butter and celery smoothie. Jesus Christ, I may not eat for 3 days just thinking about that. Steve in New York, hearing voices. I hear Risperdal's pretty good for that. Haldol, Thorazine, Jack in Shreveport, subject line, celery. Possibly the most expensive way of transporting water ever devised. Yes, it's all it is. It's water with some cellulose around it. I mean, that's why it's celery, I think. Although, you know, to cook, I mean, there's a flavor to it. But that's about it. You know, celery root in cooking is pretty neat, too. A little pushback. Ron in Raleigh says, "I'm sure you've heard about the efforts of an organization called Free Black Mamas. Well, Kim Kardashian has put forth a major effort on behalf of this organization. I believe in giving credit where it's due. Do tree beard and celery have anything to do with this craze? I'm sure they do. I'm sure they're drinking. Well, you know, celery is the new kale. Celery's for people who can't. Celery juice is for people who can't handle a kale smoothie. Ugh, I cringe. But yeah, no, give her credit. Give her credit in that department. She helped raise a ton of money to get African American women who were in jail without, because they couldn't make bail, out, and used Mother's Day to organize around it, and it was wonderful. But she's still somebody who's famous for being famous. Flavio says, "The Los Angeles Times? You mean the Los Angeles dog trainer? Well, birdcage liner?" Darn. Okay. Now, Steve says the U.S. Marshals are under the DOJ. Well, maybe that's why we wait for the evidence to develop to impeach Trump, maybe that's why you get going with impeachment of Barr much, much sooner. Fucker lied under oath. That's enough. You would think. Okay, courtesy of Suman. Celery and rocks. Hey, Bob, I'll see your stats on celery and rocks, and I raise you with butt implants. Famously famous Kim Kardashian inspired people to get butt implants. The percentage of women getting butt implants rose by 36% just last year. Why do I know this? Because the percentage of botched plastic surgery cases increased by 36 times 2 equals 72%. But you can't name her as a... No. Butt surgery, honestly. Yeah, I can't. I'm whooped. Oh, thanks. We're making some progress on the please stop raining in Northern California challenge, courtesy of Tom. Thank you, Elizabeth, for taking us down to $65. And thank you to Otto for taking us down to $55. And thank you, Jude, for taking us down to $45. So we're making progress. $45 to go on Tom's challenge, who's rather sick of all the May rain in the Bay Area. Thank you very kindly. $45 to go. Maybe in 9 minutes we can finish that off. Robert in Australia says, subject line, psoriatic arthritis. I've had psoriatic arthritis for over 25 years. I don't tell people anymore. I got tired of all the people who had a friend who was a naturopath or some other form of expert who could cure that. They can't show me photographs or documentation of all the people their friend has cured, but their friend says they've cured lots of people. Let me know when they win a Nobel Prize for that, became my usual response. The advice I get from my doctor works. The medicine I get from my doctor works. The doctor with 12-plus years of training and experience. God, people are stupid, says Robert down in up over down under in Oz. Well, you know what they call alternative medicine that is scientifically proven to work? Medicine. Just, you know, fact. Ah, it was Harry Shearer, Flavio informs us, who coined the term the L.A. dog trainer for the L.A. Times. Funny man, Harry Shearer. Accurate, too. Yeah, I think so. Wasn't Kent, Bill in Pennsylvania, Bamavania stand? Wasn't Kim's dad one of O.J.'s lawyers? Yeah, he was, wasn't he? There's some sort of connection there. Meanwhile, Megan says, thorn in my side. I realize this has gone under the radar with everything else going on, but after Cantaloupe Caligula's rant yesterday, his son, Brill Cream Brutus... Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's the cowbell. His son, Brill Cream Brutus, is going around on Twitter saying he's not only going to write a book, but he's going to run for mayor of New York City. Both of which got him roasted alive in the sewer that is Twitter. Damn. Megan, I'm sorry. You put Brill Cream Brutus out there into the universe, and Brill Cream Brutus is going to get used. That's too good not to. Don't worry, we've got Trump to talk about. I just get so godforsaken tired of it. It's legitimately, I think, a form of fatigue. But it's hard to avoid. No doubt about it. Oh, wait a second. Stand by. Okay. Speaking of, and some of this shit is crazy. And I guess we get a little bit of a giggle out of it. But it's the dangerous stuff. It's the overt calls for violence. The chlamydia Claudius went off the rails again today. He had some farmers. Had some farmers standing behind him as stage props to talk about how much he was going to help them. Right? But he couldn't stay on topic. It was all supposed to be about him using the FDR-era program to help offset the harm that he's doing to American farmers. Of course, most of that money is going to massive agri corporations and not to, you know, smallholders or freeholders. Small farmers. No. And I'm sure there are plenty of Republicans in the Congress who are actually cashing checks off of that bailout. I remember a story a couple of years ago about a guy getting a Republican who was getting subsidies for sheep that he didn't actually even keep on his land. Wasn't that the story? But instead of talking about his farm bailout with those farmers standing behind him and, you know, just sort of sitting there with that bemused look on their face that constitutes the certainty that one is viewing a maggot, he started talking about how he wanted, had a list of people that he wanted to be killed. I mean, the President of the United States did that in public, live with cameras rolling today.
Huawei and technology, what likelihood is there that there will be a trade deal?
Well, there's a possibility. I think probably a good possibility. I don't know how China can do this because, I'll be honest, we're getting hundreds of billions of dollars brought in to our country. We've never gotten 10 cents. We're getting hundreds of billions of dollars coming into our country. And I'm helping the farmers.
There aren't hundreds of billions of dollars coming into the United States by way of tariffs. China has never paid a single penny in tariffs. That's not how tariffs work, but we know that. It's paid by the importer, and the importer passes the cost along to the American consumer. Ta-da! But the spirochetes don't know that, and therefore Donald Trump doesn't know that, but I repeat myself.
Right.
But you know what? That help is a very temporary help because they'll pay it back 100 times over. They will with what they do, with the importance of what they do. But Huawei is something that's very dangerous. You look at what they've done from a security standpoint, from a military standpoint, it's very dangerous. So it's possible that Huawei even would be included in some kind of a trade deal. If we made a deal, I could imagine Huawei being possibly included in some form of or some part of a trade deal.
Now, let's be clear here for a minute. This guy doesn't know the difference between Huawei and Wawa. He probably thinks you go into Huawei and get a cup of coffee while you're putting gas in your car. But he doesn't drive, so he probably doesn't know about putting gas in cars. Maybe you can get a hamburger at Huawei. You know, they're clean, they're nice. They're expanding out of eastern PA. They're down in Virginia now, and who knows? Maybe he's gone there. Maybe the motorcade stopped there.
What would that look?
It would look very good for us.
Huawei part. How would you design that?
Oh, it's too early to say. But I mean, we're just very concerned about Huawei from a security standpoint.
Sir, the Constitution says treason is punishable by death. You've accused your adversaries of treason. Who specifically are you accusing of treason?
Well, I think a number of people, and I think what you look is that they have unsuccessfully tried to take down the wrong person. If you look at Comey, if you look at McCabe, if you look at probably people higher than that, if you look at Strzok, If you look at his lover, Lisa Page, his wonderful lover, the two lovers, they talked openly. You know, they didn't use their private server because they didn't want to get caught. So they used the government server. That was not a good move. He talked about the insurance policy just in case Crooked Hillary loses. And that didn't work out too well for them. So you look at them.
Understand, he has never seen any of this. He has never read any of this. This is all stuff that he's heard while he's sitting there on the presidential toilet, twooping while he's watching Fox and Friends in the morning. We've said it before, I'll say it again. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And that makes him extremely dangerous. But the fact that the reporter said to him straight up and straightforward, treason is punishable by death. Who do you want charged with treason? And he didn't hesitate. He wants Comey to be murdered in the name of the state. He wants Andrew McCabe to be murdered in the name of the state. Actually, in the name of Trump. He wants Strzok and Page and someone higher up. That's five. The comparisons to the Central Park Five are inescapable. Calling for the execution of someone based upon his bigotries and his prejudices and having nothing to do with anything resembling knowledge, let alone guilt proven beyond a reasonable doubt. This is past may you live in interesting times. This is dangerous.
They want an insurance policy so that should she, for any reason, lose, remember, 100 million to one. Maybe he said 100 million to nothing. But should she lose, we'll have an insurance policy and we'll get this guy out of office. And that's what they said and that's what they meant. That's treason. That's treason. They couldn't win the election and that's what happened. And that's what's happening right now because without the treason word, I guess, but that's what's happening now. They don't feel they can win the election, so they're trying to do the 1,000 stabs. Keep stabbing. Let's have a financial. Let's have. And if you look for $40 million, I would think, seriously, that Bob Mueller and his group of 18 killers have gone.
Killers? 18 killers? You know, I've been calling this guy Julius Geezer for a couple of years now. And now, here. Mark it down, the 23rd day of May, 2019, he's having his Et Tu Brute moment. You know, it's sort of unfair for me to call him Julius Geezer because that's a reference to Julius Caesar. And whatever else one says about Julius Caesar, it is undeniable that he was a brilliant man. A poet. Somewhat of a philosopher, a historian, a brilliant military strategist. The only thing he's got in common with Donald Trump is that neither of them drank alcohol. Julius Caesar was stabbed to death when he was about 56 years old. This guy, well, He's well past that, 16 years past that, going on 17, and shows dangerous signs of being genuinely demented. And behaving like the thugs that he so admires. Behaving like Putin. Behaving like Bolsonaro. Behaving like Erdogan and Duterte. All of whom can have a human being killed at a word. He yearns for that.
Over my taxes, they've gone over my financial statements to a level that nobody has gone over them before.
We haven't even seen his taxes. Nobody's gone over them. Nobody's seen them. But, of course, remember, over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, where Emery and Marveline are watching from the matching Barca loungers, they're going, And so we're back to that same percentage of Americans who oppose the teaching of Arabic numerals in our school curriculum.
And they were not discussed even. They weren't even discussed or brought up. I have great statements. Okay, what else?
Harriet Tubman,
you don't want a dual track. On one hand, you don't want a dual track. On the other hand, you want...
So he's calling for people to be killed. That's where he is now. And in many ways, it's because of the magnificent job that Nancy Pelosi has done trolling him. She is miles deep inside his head. And it's driving him bananas. In that same rant that he engaged in today, he tried to insult her intelligence and along the way mentioned his own very stable genius. I guess he thinks that's and he thinks that sounds smart and it sounds intelligent to people who aren't intelligent enough to know what intelligence sounds like. But you remember the hissy they had over the 25th Amendment mentions? Well, apparently that really bugs him. And so this happened at, you know, compare that rambling with the cogent answers of Nancy Pelosi, who, among other things, said that he has taken a leave of absence since he's declared he won't president unless the Congress stops investigating his criminality. Yeah, he's taking a leave of absence. He's taking a leave of his senses.
Stop honoring your oath of office. I can't work with you. That's basically what he's saying. Maybe he wants to take a leave of absence. I don't know. But on the other hand, we understand what our responsibilities are. We're fully prepared to go forward. It really will be up to them to have some level of cooperation.
You in a better position to ask for more, though, because of the blow-up yesterday.
We want to do what we have to do that is right for the American people, respectful of all the equities that have to be weighed. One more, because we have to go back.
You said in private, you suggested it today, that the president wants to, on some level,
of course,
to impeach.
I told you.
Can you explain that a bit? And can you also...
Time out. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi has said something, and it's publicly known now, that I've been saying for a little bit. This is a game of poorly played chess, in which desperate for what he thinks the benefit to him would be, Donald Trump actually wants to be impeached by the House. Donald Trump at least knows that, unlike apparently many Americans, that impeachment is a two-step process. You know, impeachment in the House and trial in the Senate. And he thinks he thinks that if he can get to goad the House into impeaching him, that he'll get the Clinton effect. Clinton's popularity rose through the course of his impeachment. Of course, this had something to do with the fact that the Republican impeachment of Bill Clinton was utter bullshit, and most of America understood that problems in a marriage are the business of the people in the marriage and maybe the person outside the marriage, but not generally the business of everybody else in the country. But Donald Trump isn't that incisive. And so all he can see is that Bill Clinton got a popularity bounce, out of winning in the Senate. And by winning, I mean not being removed from office. And so he thinks that if he can just get the House to impeach him, that he will then use the bully pulpit to help him pogo stick up onto the cross, and that America will finally decide he's a good president as a result of it. We've talked about that here. And now the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is patiently explaining it to the press.
Explain the comment you made about the staff doing an intervention.
Okay, the what intervention?
You made a comment that you thought the staff might want to do.
Oh, I thought you said statutory intervention. That would be good. Article 25. Troublemaker.
She means the 25th Amendment, of course. But she's sharp enough to take something this reporter said and use it to get a little dig in and sort of stoke Trump along another step or two. That would be interesting. I mean, this is her talk. She's talking about the 25th Amendment. My pink little ears perked up when I heard this.
Can you explain that a bit? And can you also explain the comment you made about the staff doing an intervention?
Okay, the what intervention?
You made a comment that you thought the staff might want to do.
Oh, something. I thought you said statutory intervention. That would be good. Article 25. Troublemaker. That's a good idea. I'm glad you suggested it. I'll take it up with my caucus. Not that they haven't been thinking about it. But your support will be important to them.
Not that they haven't been thinking about it. Our little conversations here are surprisingly prescient and out in front of most of the stuff that goes on in between the ads for Buy Gold Now and various pharmaceuticals that may make your nose mysteriously slide off as a side effect. Isn't it cool to be part of an exclusive little group like this? Yeah.
There's no question. The White House is just crying out for impeachment. That's why he flipped yesterday, because he was hoping, because he was, somehow or other, you all have a story that isn't real. I mean, you want to believe that there's all this unease in our caucus. That simply isn't the truth. We have respect for the diversity of opinion in our caucus, and I say to the caucus, our diversity is our strength. Our unity is our power, and we have unity in our caucus. And so when he saw that, see, he's saying, oh, you called that meeting at 9 o'clock? No, we have the meeting, Mr. President. It's not about you, but it is about whatever is current at that time. And so somehow or other, you keep perpetuating this story. I don't know why, because it isn't factual, but nonetheless, that was what disappointed him, because he didn't see this rush to impeachment coming out of our caucus in our 9 o'clock meeting, which he thought was called specifically for him. That's up to his family and his cabinet and his staff in the White House. This is not behavior that is rises to the dignity of the office of President of the United States.
That's, you know, I remember back in the day there was a brand of rolling papers called Club. And what was neat about them is they didn't have any glue. And they were super thin. They were my favorite brand. Because if you just took one of those papers out and you lit it and dropped it into the ashtray, by the time the fire went out, there was no ash. It was just completely consumed by the fire. And in what she did there, an intervention, well, that's kind of up to his family and the cabinet. Oh, my God. But she suggested that, yes, the President of the United States is in such bad shape that he needs an intervention. And this will drive him bananas. Right around the bend. I keep saying it because it's true. We are getting closer and closer and closer to that moment in which he just starts taking his clothes off in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Justin Amash and his statements about impeachment, he may be in the minority, but Justin Amash, just as Representative Green of the Democrats has himself, is free to draft a bill of impeachment and present it to the House for consideration. Curiously, he hasn't done that. He's merely provided himself as a foil to try to drive the Democrats toward it. I'm sorry. Justin Amash is a Republican, and as a general principle, I make it a policy not to trust Republicans, because they never stop putting party first. So when one lone Republican suddenly jumps out with a tweet storm and says, "Wow, this guy's committed impeachable offenses," I'm a little less sanguine than most folks are in reaching out for that handy-dandy, the enemy of my enemy is my friend approach. Because even though Julius Geezer said that he's a lightweight, and he always votes with Pelosi and never with me, fucker votes like 91% of the time with Trump and the Republicans. Because he is one. So, you know, and I don't think it's necessarily a problem in our little community. But just when you read people say, well, you know, he's certainly put her in a box. Now Justin Amash has certainly made the Democrats look weak. Maybe ask yourself if that might just actually be the whole point. So at 18 past the hour, oops, time check, we've still got $45 to go on Tom's Please Make It Stop Raining in Northern California challenge. And hopefully, that will be we'll knock that out maybe before the halfway mark of the program now. And thanks to everybody who has jumped in so far. And if we can get that knocked out, we'll be down to 245. And we'll finish we'll keep working on that through the second half of the program. Let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd. What's up?
Man, yo, listen. The past, I think we talked a couple of days ago, but after we talk. Wow, these last days go down. And I'm so, I want to talk about food. I really do. Should I talk about?
Talk about anything you want to. Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on, Todd. Stand by. Wire problem. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. You there, Todd?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. Good.
All right. I don't know if you have access to these bags of avocados that are, they're called blemished or ugly or whatever, like emeralds in the rough. But, man, I'm telling you, people have been making fun of the millennials with their avocado spread. There's something to that shit.
Oh, yeah, avocado toast is yummy.
Oh, my God.
But then again, I was into avocados before being into avocados was cool. I mean, from way back when I was a little kid, I loved nothing better than to just, you know, take a half an avocado and make little thin slices of it, fan it out like a deck of cards, sprinkle some salt over it, and snack. No onions, no guacamole. I mean, just eat an avocado.
Right. It makes a good sandwich.
If you want to get real weird about it, put a nice spoonful of cottage cheese across it.
Oh, well, see, you get me started. Right. So, honestly, like, before, I don't know, this is like, I don't know, I've always been attracted to West Indian food. You know, so I had this one friend, and, you know, they're vegetarians, so her family was. But, you know, so I got to learn to love the avocado. And it's so easy. You just, just cut it up, put it in a bowl, and put some Mrs. Dash, a little bit of that complete saison.
Oh, yeah.
Garlic powder.
Yep.
And it comes, oh, my God, that shit comes to life. It's so simple. And, I mean, it's pure energy. Like, when it's hot. Yo, it's going to be 100. It's already fucking summer here. Like, it's middle of summer. That's how it feels right now. You know, you don't need to be heating up the house with the oven and all that nonsense. But, yeah, that is pure energy, and it's, you know, B vitamins. It's good for your skin, you know. But so I had never really, you know, I would eat them, but, you know, because of her family, you know, that was a big part of their diet. And I was like, damn, this is good. You know, you can make a sandwich, and that, like you said, you put a slice of cheese on it, cream cheese, whatever cheese you like. It's just beautiful, especially when it's hot out. Oh, and it's something, it doesn't, like, you can pack it. You know, you can keep it cold, but it's not going to spoil. And just a Tracy, just a little bit of mayonnaise, just a little bit, like a teaspoon per avocado. You know, it doesn't take a lot. And then conversely, you know, that goes well with the loaded baked potato with the California vegetables and maybe some steakum cheese steak on top.
Whoa.
That shit. And, you know, you hit it with soy sauce right there. Let me tell you, you know, cook a perfect steak, honest to God, you know, you get the plate out, right? Put some oil in the plate, olive oil, salt, pepper. Make sure the steak is nicely bathed on each side. You cook it. And then on that same plate, you put one teaspoon, not no more, no less, of soy sauce, good soy sauce. And then, as that steak is still hot, you put it on that plate, smoking hot, and both sides, and just let it caramelizes on the steak. I mean, it will just excite. Soy sauce loves beef, and beef loves soy sauce. It's something to it. It just, I can smell it now. It's just unbelievable. Man, I'm telling you, get good food.
Yeah, isn't that the principle behind the cooking term monté au beurre? I'm butchering the French, but, you know, mounted on butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Because that loaded, oh my God, when it's on top of that loaded baked potato with the what would be called a California mix of vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, and carrots, okay?
Yep.
And then you want to layer that with some Parmesan, you know, you want to butter your potato and season the potatoes lightly on the bottom, and then you layer it. Layering is important. There's a, you know, you just can't throw shit on there. It's a method to that. Just like when you know, you build a sandwich. You just don't make a sandwich. You build your sandwich. Oh, God. Okay. So, anyway, so this avocado. I'm telling you, man, everybody I've been giving this to, they're like, oh, I want more of that. Like, I have orders. You know what I mean? Like, I had to go back to the store twice. It's like going back and getting another bag of the breaded frozen okra to fry. Because, you know, once you start eating that shit, you find yourself in the car, you scratch it, like, I hope you have some more. Damn. Eat that okra. You know what I mean?
Ooh. you're kind of on an okra binge, aren't you?
I am. That shit, man, come on. That shit is fucking tasty, man. You know, Margaret Holmes, we have this brand down here.
Oh, yeah, Margaret Holmes, yeah.
See, I don't have to say. Look, they have. They don't mess around.
The canned tomato and okra.
Oh. And the black eyed peas.
Yeah, but that canned tomato and okra, man, you can do things with it.
Give me an example.
If you're in a hurry, a couple of cans of that into your roux. And you're well on the way to some kick-ass gumbo.
See, what if Margaret Holmes, they don't play around. They do not. See, they're right over there going to the beach, going to Myrtle Beach in Anor, a place called Anor. It's very fertile. When you ride through there, you can see it's nice.
And their greens, they're canned greens. Open it up, heat it up. I blast it with a few of the remaining drops of the yuzu sauce, and we're off and running.
You never thought you'd be eating greens out of a can, so you had that, did
you? Oh, I mean, I have, but that's the best there is.
Okay. It is. They should give me a check, honest to God. Because, I mean, Margaret Holmes is no joke. So when I saw the Margaret Holmes frozen breaded okra, I was like, oh, I'm on this. Man, they got me going back. That shit is like crack, man. You find yourself, oh, I hope they have some more. And I'm not the only person. I'm like, oh yeah, you know it too, huh? You know, you waking people like, yeah.
Oh no, you know, see that's the thing. I'm still eyeballing that $400 worth of propane griddle with two gas burners on the side, and a deep fryer along with it. I want it. I want it.
Then you know damn well when you said that shit the other night. You know the first thing in my mind was like, oh yeah, I see a pile of peppers and onions right just on the corner on low. You know,
mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
needs to be there, right?
Oh, or you know, you got that much surface, you can make fried rice from hell.
Oh, woo!
Mm-hmm.
Fried rice, and when you make that shit at home, and that's what pissed me off when you start off with the celery thing, because I'm gonna tell you, celery is a very strange and interesting vegetable. When it's not in what you're cooking, you know something's missing. You may not be the same. Just needs something. It's the celery.
Yeah, no. I love it, but I don't think it'll cure Ebola.
No, but
and the world, one of the things with all the problems the world has, one of the things the world doesn't need is Gwyneth Paltrow telling people telling women to douche with it, or you know, take celery juice enemas.
Man,
I mean, It was bad enough back 20 years ago when Janet Jackson was telling people that she took coffee enemas because it washed out the sad cells.
Oh God! Yeah.
It's like something Flavio said a minute ago. This country dangerously lacks a civic culture. I mean, people here argue with science, have been arguing with science since Benjamin Franklin. It's only gotten worse. This is the land of Elmer Gantry, of religiosity and belief. You can't have a republic of belief. That's not a republic. That's a theocracy. And Flavio is right.
He's right. That's what a solid.
Imagine being a parent of an autistic child, and the kid is gasping and rolling over and trying to do anything that the child can do to get away from you because you're pouring bleach up its ass. And you, the parent, are so goddamn dim and so distrustful of the egghead elites that you can't understand that the child is doing its best to communicate to you, even though the child can barely communicate, that you are hurting it. And the doctor says, oh, no, please don't pour bleach up your autistic child's ass. You know, what does she know? Right?
My God. The thought of that.
Turpentine? Turpentine? I mean, okay.
Right.
Caveat. Turpentine is a hillbilly remedy. I can't tell you the number of scraped knees that I got as a kid that got painted with turpentine.
Oh, shit. You're serious. Right.
And it helped. It healed. And I gladly sat still for the turpentine because the next thing was the methylate, and I knew I didn't want that shit.
No. The turpentine didn't sting as bad as the methylate. The red shit?
No. Oh, that stuff's evil.
We remember that. When you hit that, you were like, oh, shit.
The advanced younger scientific mommies all had Bactine. And it just squirt. No. There were three things in the cabinet. There was a small bottle of turpentine, a small bottle of mercurochrome, and a small bottle of methylate. And the methylate was
there. Here comes the wine.
Yeah, the methylate was there as sort of an implied threat so that you wouldn't pitch a fit over the mercurochrome or the turpentine. But there's a big difference. The mercurochrome never hurt.
Everything hurt me.
But the thing is, there's a big difference between swabbing a brush burned knee with a little bit of turpentine and, again, pouring it up your kid's ass.
I would try to avoid that again. I don't even process that. Wait a minute, this is simple biology. That is fucked up. The nerve, you are able to understand that the osmosis happens in the rectal area. That shit will go right into your bloodstream. That's fucked up. Don't do that. That's why there are suppositories, because the shit goes into your fucking bloodstream. No, don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a fad some years back. I actually found out about it by there's one of those wacky, zany Florida crime novel authors, and his name's Tim Dorsey. He's in the same vein as, say, he's sort of along the same lines as Carl Hiaasen, only crazier. And at the end of one of his novels, a Rush Limbaugh type who spent all his time on the radio inveighing against gay people got justice from.
Speaking of anuses, you said gay people.
Got justice from from the psychopathic hero of the novels. By having a bottle of booze poured up his ass, and then having something stuffed up behind it to keep it there, so he winds up drunker than hell, at a pride event, running around begging people to pull it out.
Right.
People were doing that. But, you know, beer, booze, champagne, for God's sakes.
The shit goes into your bloodstream.
Because this nation has a yearning to be stupid.
Well, that's where we are. You know, there's so much to say about that. But you know, you were hitting the topics. This shit. All right. So, you know, we had our fun with the food, right, for a second, I suppose. But man, there's some good food happening around here, man. Oh my God, who wouldn't have cookout is coming this? Oh, there's a massive cookout coming this Sunday. Oh shit! I mean, it's hundreds of people gonna be at this cookout.
Oh wow, down there where you are?
Yeah, and
is it at the Polo Grounds?
No, it's at someone's house, but these people own property. Like, they own a whole neighborhood almost. Like, they've owned property. These are what they call freeborn people. These people were free before, like during slavery, they were free. They had property. They sold some of their property to Fort Jackson. Black folk, you know. So this is going to be a big deal. Like, and they don't mess around. Like my entree, like, you know, she cooks, this old, you know, friend of mine. And anyway, this is gonna be a big deal.
And you're going?
I'm going. I'm going. I'm taking.
Are you? I was gonna say, are you bringing a dish?
No, I'm not. Are you kidding? They will be offended.
Oh, okay.
You know, down here, honestly, like this type of place. No, you gotta be careful. People get this is the type, like some of these places, like this is going to be like the quintessential Southern hospitality, where there'll be trash cans full of beer with ice, like a what do you call it, roughneck trash can, you know, like a rubber.
Yeah, the big ones.
No, the big ones. Just there'll be a bunch of those full of beer, like. You know, liquor, every, you know, the smoke, you'd eat till you be like Caesar, you know what I mean? There'll be a lounging couch, you know, a resting area. Okay. You know, take a break. You can, you know, get back on the track.
Eat a little bit for a long time.
Yeah. It's going to be really nice, but it's going to be hot as hell, man. It's heating up around here. Oh my God. Heating up, but you know, okay, so I guess back to the real world. Wow, listen, that's what you know. You said your little pink ears perked up when Nancy Pelosi said intervention. I was like, oh, hell, motherfucking yeah. That look, shit, that was a well placed. She's not saying that out of nowhere. That's you know, that has gravitas, that means something. This is the real, that man, look. Well, you know, we already knew that, but now, oh my God! Then he said, "Oh, Nancy Pelosi, she's losing it." Here we go projecting again. He, you know, you got to speak Trump speak now. He is about to lose his shit. He is on his way. This shit, unless
well, I'd say he's already there when he's finally crossed that boundary into calling for people to be killed in his name.
Ain't that some shit? But see.
Let me point out one thing, Todd.
Please.
And then I do have a difference of opinion. I'm being supportive of Nancy Pelosi's strategy because I think it's the smart one.
Mm-hmm.
But I take issue in one regard, and that is, and I'll go so far as to say that I think I understand the concept of impeachment as well or better than she does from a historical standpoint. I don't understand it better than she does from the standpoint of being Speaker of the House. Not even. Wouldn't dream of saying that. But from a historical standpoint, I do. And what we have to take into account is the reason that they had a discussion about impeachment at all. And
right.
It came from their own understanding of history. And just to sort of move methodically through this, we have to understand that the Constitution had a couple of sources. One was Enlightenment thinking. Another was their experience of the Haudenosaunee people's method of governing united tribes. And the third was their experience of English history and the English Civil Wars. And the problem, as they understood it, was that, and they were equating, they were, and not unfairly, they were contemplating a republic that would have a chief executive.
Mm-hmm.
And the closest thing they had to compare it with was an English monarch.
Well, that's all it was, really.
And so the question they asked themselves is, in the past, when you've got a bad monarch, what's the only way to get rid of a bad monarch? And the answer to that is, you have to kill the king.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognized that that way lay madness.
Mm-hmm.
And civil war.
Right.
And a bloodletting that a young nation could not withstand.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concept of impeachment had existed at the English common law, not for a king, but for political civil servants. And so they adopted the idea of impeachment, and they did so.
Okay, for bad bureaucrats in bad favor.
Sure.
Behaving bad.
Right.
Okay.
And so they adopted the idea of impeachment, and then they had a debate about it. And they even debated the language that would be in the Constitution as what constituted grounds. But Nancy Pelosi said that it was, describes it as a dire and an extreme measure. There is information in the debates over the Constitution and the Federalist Papers that suggests exactly the contrary. If you were to ask Dr. Bill, for instance, he would tell you, because he's told me, and he said it on the air too, he would explain that the framers, some of them, saw impeachment as something that would be used on a fairly regular basis, and that they viewed impeachment as a hand around the presidential throat that was always there and would, in cases of necessity, squeeze. And that squeezing is impeachment.
Yeah, but the executive branch has gained power over the past few decades, or
right.
more than two.
From the moment of the first presidency, the executive
right.
branch has been trying to draw power to it. But
and
one
you
of the,
that out nicely. Mm-hmm.
But one of the principles that was argued was that a president could be impeached for the bad acts of his cabinet. If a cabinet member,
there's a lot. That's the other thing. Listen, I would have gone, that time we talked, I had not seen Ben Carson. I didn't see that. I would have gone the fuck off. I know I was talking about crusty old white men, but they appointed him. My God. What? How is he drawing the check? Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, but that shit was, fuck that. He's got to go.
Yeah, under the theory of impeachment put forward by some of the framers, you would impeach Donald Trump because Steve Mnuchin violated a law.
Oh, don't even start with
you
that.
You would impeach Donald Trump because his attorney general perjured himself in front of Congress.
He's perjured himself, and he defies Congress. He says, no, the president does not have to show his taxes, and I see no reason why. What the fuck?
And meanwhile, out there, you know, just because I look at social media and I recognize it's its own bubble, you've got people saying, I just saw it a little bit ago, Atticus Finch never said to Tom Robinson, well, we're not going to go to trial because you're going to get convicted anyway. It is not an apt analogy.
No.
Impeachment is not a criminal trial, for starters. And secondarily, if you want to paint the Republican Senate as on a similar racist par with the jury that convicted Tom Robinson in the fictional To Kill a Mockingbird, well, okay. And yeah, Atticus Finch says sometimes you do things even though you know, sometimes you go into a fight even though you know you're going to get whipped. And I understand.
But it's the fight you have to do, right. But it's the fight that you have to take. It's the fight that you have to engage in. Because it is a moral.
There's a moral imperative there, But then again, right. There's the question of, you know, if we're going to deal with this fictional world of To Kill a Mockingbird, which, as I've said before, has a lot of problems. Atticus Finch, not much is going to happen to him because he's white.
Right.
But if as a result, right. if as a result of defending Tom Robinson, they're going to go on a rampage and slaughter every black family in Macomb County,
it won't affect him.
It won't touch him, and Tom Robinson might say, let's just let him kill me and sacrifice himself for the good of his community. And so that's what's at stake with impeachment here. If he is empowered by it, I don't necessarily think he would be, but he thinks he will be. He's not scared of it because he knows he will not be convicted by the Senate. I mean, I'm looking at a headline right now. Ex-advisor says he'll hate being impeached. I tend to side with Nancy Pelosi on this one. He desperately wants it.
Okay.
Sam Nunberg, who, you know, is not the most stable of people, said, today was self-destructing. When he has to start saying I'm a stable genius or having people say you're in the room and I didn't lose my temper, that's where that really hits him personally. What I also think I don't understand is I sat in the speech that he gave in 2013 at a Ralph Reed dinner. He criticized the Republican Party when he was trying to be an outsider. He criticized them saying, why are they taking impeachment off the table so quickly on Barack Obama? Do you think Bill Clinton liked being impeached? And then Nunberg says he will hate being impeached. Once again, this is a guy who still loves Donald Trump, who is making the argument of please don't do anything you want to him, but please don't throw him in that briar patch.
Well, look, we're in trouble. Now if you notice his behavior, the Leroy's behavior, and, you know, like I said last time we talked, it's like I'm at the point now, I feel sorry for him because he's mentally, you know, he's mentally ill. We all know that, you know. And I'm sorry he's in power and he's mentally ill, and it's dragging us down. But there's a lot more to it because you have all these followers who are living vicariously through him, so that when they feel like Orange Leroy, is being hurt, they feel hurt, and it was evidenced this morning on Washington Journal, the very first call.
Oh, you took one for the team, did you?
Frightening today. Oh, and I hope Steve and Georgia fans listening, because I really want him to call in. I would love to hear him tonight. But yeah, so this is treacherous territory because there are so many. I was thinking about, you know, I had a half an hour to be quiet today, to sit quietly, and you know, I thought about. I was like, you know, this is really frightening. There is a stat. Significant segment of this population that is just absolutely delusional and just they just don't get it. They need to be tagged and rounded up and like go to education camps. And like you said, not re-education, education camps.
Yeah.
Because they just don't fucking get it.
Book 'em, Dano. Aloha.
You know, I'm sorry, but you're not fit to be around normal people. You know, you are dragging our society down. And I'm sorry you feel like you're right and you're correct and you know everything, but you're fucking stupid. And that, you know, I mean, look, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but you're fucking stupid. You know, here's some books, read. You're following someone who says they don't like to read and who's mentally ill. Do you get that?
I like him. I don't care. Now, that's my president. You just get back.
You know, no, we're not doing that. Fuck that. You had your little fucking game time. Fuck that. Just because you ain't like that Negro in the White House, that's not, you know, get over it. Get fucking over it. But, you know, and I'm not trying to be nasty and mean, but this is just, you know, once again, everyone's not born with the same set of tools in the toolbox. And, you know, that's just fucking life. You know, it hurts. But, But so I'm so look, Nancy chooses her words carefully. Now I don't agree with her on everything, and she's very corporate, and I get that. And you know, a lot of other things. However, that is a that is massive. When she brought up the I word, and he talked about the I word, right? He didn't want to say impeachment. You know, Leroy didn't want to say impeachment, but she used the I word. She said intervention. See, that's a big that's ooh boy oh boy oh boy boy.
And you know what? She is significantly older, I believe, than Trump is. But she's still in the game. He's not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh, no. And you know, and I'm glad you haven't given up the spirochete trope. Because, you know, we had to remember. Now, he has a family history of Alzheimer's dementia. You know, that automatically raises your risk factor right there. And then combined with that, and I was also thinking about his deadhead-looking private physician, Bernstein, I think his name was.
Oh, the hippie dude?
Correct. Now, he sent the hitmen in there, Lewandowski, and they confiscated all Leroy's medical records. You see?
That's true.
But he don't want anybody to know. You know what I mean? He don't want anybody to know he's been, like long-term treated for syphilis. Because I think there's, like, if you don't catch it, you know what I mean, they can give you, like, shots of penicillin. You know, there's a treatment regimen. But after, like, you know, it's tertiary, there's nothing you can do. It's a spirochete. That's why it's a spirochete.
No, you're gone.
You're gone. It's done. And see, and remember, we were talking about, necrosis in certain areas, in ventricles, in your brain, right, in your cerebrum. That shit just wreaks havoc. You know, it just wreaks havoc. Because if it starts attacking myelin sheaths, you know, that's like short-circuiting the wiring. That then people with MS, you know, when that's what happens in MS. The myelin sheaths become degraded, and, you know, that's why you can't function properly, your muscles. But, you know, syphilis is a, you know, it's a nasty, nasty thing. And I, you know, there's all reason to believe that that's probably true. I mean, who goes raw dog with a goddamn porn star? That's what the fuck are you thinking about?
That's so true.
You know, she doesn't give a damn. I'm sorry, what?
No, I said that's so true.
I mean, come on. Jesus Christ. You going to go
apparently, in the midst of a town that was, a city that was on fire with HIV... Raw Dog was his default position, and it wasn't just Raw Dog with a porn star, it was Raw Dog with anybody. Hence that phrase, sexual Vietnam, being coined.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's mm-hmm. nasty. And by the way, I give credit where credit's due. Apparently, Pete Buttigieg has rented a room in, well, rent-free, inside the heads of Republicans now, because mm-hmm. he called out, I guess it was today or yesterday, he straight up referred to Donald Trump as a draft dodger.
Mm-hmm.
And called out his bone spurs. And said, and it was in the context of a question about Colin Kaepernick and kneeling and the anthem. And he said I always viewed my service as defending, as having to do with defending that right to free speech. Now, we can have a different discussion about how one is defending freedom by oppressing the fuck out of a country like Afghanistan, but that's a different discussion. But he said I viewed my military service generally as defending the constitutional rights that are enshrined in the Bill of Rights, including free speech. Ooh. And he said, so, you know, I look at my service as being related to protecting the right of somebody like Colin Kaepernick to kneel during the national anthem. Maybe Donald Trump would feel a little bit different if he hadn't dodged the draft, if he hadn't used his his wealth privilege to avoid Vietnam service and hadn't pled bone spurs.
He just said it, Buttigieg just sent a heat-seeking missile to Trump's ego.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been thinking about, you know, you brought up a question before. Like, man, he's always been eccentric, because I remember in New York in the 80s, he was always doing weird stuff, but, you know, he was always racist, but he's not like he is now, because it's just he's just a walking cauldron of pathology. You know, if you want to start with the labels, it's obvious he's got, like, what's called arrested development. You know, he hasn't progressed past, in some areas, in some ways, past 11, 12. You know, in other words, you don't say about, when you're conducting geopolitical relations, you don't say, well, I like him, so he likes me, or, you know, like has nothing to do with shit. What the fuck is that? That's inappropriate. That's inappropriate language. Like. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Everything about him is inappropriate.
but today, these past 2 days, I heard him a few minutes ago or before I called. Unless they're going to hop him up on some more Adderall and just keep him just hopped up till he has a heart attack, man, this is terrible territory, because he is willing. See, this is why it's a constitutional crisis, because he is, I guarantee you, he is willing to bring down the country through a bullshit war and stop an election. And I think your friend listens to your show for some reason, Mike Malloy. Yeah, to stop this, you know, to prevent the next election and say it's a national emergency. We can't have an election. Because he has a kind of nefarious, he doesn't understand that, but he has the type of people around him that understand it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been. And don't forget, McGann, whatever the fuck his first name is, he was no prize. He's a little white supremacist, too. Because I remember some of the comments he made, and he's the one who gave him the list of the judges he should appoint. You know, the Federalist judges. So he's on a little choir board, but he wants to keep his law license. He wants to stay barred, not debarred.
Ding.
You see, that's what that's about. Because, you know, I don't give a fuck what you know, fine. You say, okay, Trump's not this, not that. Then why, in other words, you say, okay, this person's not a damn heroin addict. Well, why do I see your vehicle at the heroin house every day? Why do you surround yourself by those types of people? You see, there's something to
it. I never see you going in with a pizza.
Yeah. You know, I see you there first thing in the morning. You know, come on. You know, why do you go to the bar? You say you don't drink, but you go to the bar every day at happy hour. That's interesting. Okay. You go for the hors d'oeuvres. Okay. Whatever. But, you know, so this is, but he is falling apart. This shit is going to be very, I'm just curious to see what kind of dope they give him to keep him normalish. As much as you can, because this shit, like you said, because Buttigieg, man, and, you know, but you know, Warren has got this surge. She's got this steam, this slow, like diesel. You know how diesel is, slow but steady, but it'll get up to speed. You know, like one of those Volkswagen Passat TDIs.
Yeah, not a lot out of the hole, but a shit ton of torque.
There you go. And you know, we love professors. Now, come on, she's got the argument. She's looking good. But, you know, Stacey Abrams, my God, if you see that one, shit. I think the country is ready for anyone who just even seems presidential. This shit has got to stop. This is bullshit. And what's going to happen? We've already been, like, attacked electronically and continuously. But physically, what's going to happen if we get attacked? Our shit is in disarray.
Look, these people are doing all they can to saber-rattle us into a war with Iran. They're trying to get Iran to shoot first or do something that they can make look like Iran shooting first. That's why the trial balloons with the Yemeni Houthi rebel drone strikes on the pipeline and the and the bullshit about the empty tankers. And then they turn around and the Houthis say, yeah, we did it. And they say, well, you know, Iran supports them. They're desperate.
I mean,
but the problem is, the problem is, Todd, that there is a real risk that we will get our asses handed to us if we try a ground action in Iran. The greater likelihood...
We can't do it!
The greater likelihood is that we'll think that we can B-52 them and Tomahawk cruise missile them into submission. That's a country that's the size of a big part of Europe. Okay? This isn't like knocking over rickety ass Iraq.
Listen, this shit is not well thought out.
I'm a history nerd, so understand we're getting into we're getting into that territory too. The last person who successfully conquered Persia was Alexander the Great, and he did. But the only way he was able to do that, you know, he had his big barbarian army, and the Macedonians were barbarians. It's not like they were the classical Greeks that gave us Sophocles and Euripides and Aristophanes. They were barbarians.
So they conquered
what is now Iran. It was Persia. But the only way that he was able to conquer it and hold it was by co-opting some of the Persian hierarchy, and he in turn adopted what were called Persian or Asian ways, and it pissed off his barbarian horde. They said, oh, he's oiling his hair now. Oh, he's burning incense. Oh, he's wearing perfume and taking baths. He's turning into one of them. And guess what? We are fresh out of Alexander's and he took and could not hold Afghanistan. You've been awarded a cowbell courtesy of Suman for Cauldron of Pathology. Thank you, Suman.
I like to see the cartoon. It's like he has a girdle. The cauldron is like he has these big pants, and it's a boiling cauldron, and it's all his pathology with his head on top and his little legs. But I wish I could draw. Man, see history, and this is why, you know, we often talk about Turkey and Constantine. You know, Trump wishes, if he even knew who Constantine was, he would wish he could be half one 0.5 of 1% of the man Constantine was. You see, Constantine got it.
Sure. He had a better handle on the Roman Empire of his era than his competition did.
But he knew, like, you have to deal with people. He knew how to deal with people.
Yeah.
You know, and the Roman Empire did at some, you know, to a large degree, you know, to let people do what they wanted to do as long as they paid their taxes. You know, go ahead. You want to worship that? Nah, no question. You know, whatever.
Yeah, Mithras, bring him in. Sure, why not?
Why? Yeah, but, okay, so... Man, this next week, this is just unbelievable. I mean, when you have people out in public now, finally, I cannot believe she said intervention. And she was like, oh, no, there's some shit bubbling. See, and this, all right, so, and like you, people, okay, the parliamentarians, they're studying. Because like you brought up, you see, it's these cabinet folk. See, it's not just him. And I'm telling you, man, these motherfuckers. This morning, Washington Journal.
But we've had that conversation too. If the cabinet's not going to do it, the out is in that little clause there, or such other body as Congress may by law provide.
That is what I'm talking. That's what
a commission on presidential fitness.
Right. They have to go. Right, because there's a clause in there where you can get rid of that body of the cabinet because they're incompetent also because they were hired by an incompetent leader.
Well, that's, you know, that is there. That clause is there in case it turns out that the cabinet is a bunch of lick spittle salad tossers.
Mm-hmm.
That you can have a, that you can have a body empowered to trigger the 25th Amendment when a cabinet becomes too servile.
Well, let me say this.
But try to explain that, Todd, to the booger eaters who call Washington Journal.
I mean, this is why I said we got to tag them and round them up. And I don't give a fuck if somebody takes it. Look, I'm sorry. I didn't make these.
Well, you know, this brings up another issue, and it's always been an issue for me with regard to Washington Journal. I remember a long time ago having a conversation with Dr. John, who is a brilliant man start to finish, and he's a journalist, and a damned fine one. And he said, Bob, there is limited journalistic value to just dumping information because it has to be comprehended. It has to have context. It has to exist.
That's what I was going
to
say.
It has to exist in a world. And so just, you know, just an information dump is not necessarily helpful, not always helpful. And to that end, Washington Journal troubles me because whether it's Pedro or anybody else, they're just sitting there saying, ah, Republican line, what have you got to say? Well, I say God bless Donald Trump and them fucking communist Democrats is why America's gone to hell. And can you imagine if some dispassionate moderator on Washington Journal tried to explain the fourth section of the 25th Amendment to the booger eaters out there?
You know,
I mean, to some extent, it feels to me like a fool's errand.
Well, but see, I'm glad you brought that up. Number one, let me tell you, Pedro this morning, he as soon as that, they did it for an hour. They had open phones for an hour this morning before they had Plaskett from the Virgin Islands, and she was wonderful. And some other folk, but Pedro went immediately to the wet bar, which is about four and a half feet away from the set, and I'm quite sure he was slamming some.
Yeah, just slightly off camera with and the swirly straws already in the rot gut tequila.
Pedro's body language is, I'm telling you, he was going off inside because these people were so unhinged this morning. The maggots. Oh my God. So, you know, they're irretrievable.
But there's some operating philosophy over there that says that people should just be able to spout whatever ignorance they have and never be confronted when they are dead dirt wrong.
Well, right. And this, right. And see, this is the thing. This is, I love it. I'm telling you, I love listening to what, because, you know, once in a while they will get a caller who is,
What happened to you, Todd? Todd?
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. You went away for a minute. Yeah, you went away for a minute.
Oh, that's probably just the feds. It's okay. So, listen. Yeah, once in a while, you get a caller who, like, is a retired bureaucrat or something, and they, you know, they'll lay it down, like, the truth. And it's wonderful to hear. It's refreshing.
We're having thunder outside, so that may explain some of this, some of these go-aways.
Oh, yeah, it's getting dark here, too. But you see, this is what I would wonder about Brian Lamb, and because it is very sad to see, and I've said this before, but, you know, it's so plain, but I guess, you know, I was talking to one of our friends, apparently, I don't know, I have that clinical, I don't know, I have a clinical mind, that's just the way I see things. You know, a lot of people just don't look at things the way we look at him, and sometimes the way I look at him. I mean, swearing to God that Washington Journal leans left.
Funny, I never got that sense.
Oh, no. What, listen, I'm telling you, it's there. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, I've been keeping track. No, it's a stat. It's over 30.
Yeah.
Like, okay, to be clinical, it's like, okay, the reason that you feel, that's your guy, we get that. I'm saying you, like, okay, Trumpeteers, that's your guy, and you feel like he's being beset upon, you know, he's aggrieved, and just, like, let him be president. Okay, fine, that's your mindset, we get it. Now, the news is the news. The Washington Journal goes out of their way just to present what is in, and they even have acquiesced to even have Breitbart on there sometimes, and which is bullshit.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, it is leaning left. It's the news. The president is engaging in negative and antisocial behaviors at every level, almost every moment of the day, every waking moment. Just because you like it doesn't mean it's right or positive. This is what they don't get.
Right.
They're unable. And see, they process, you know, these people process information differently. Their minds have to be studied. There's something going on there. Something's not right.
Badly.
Now, there's one more thing I want to ask you about, because I wish Steve would call, because I hope you heard Washington Journal today. But, you know, I don't know if you've seen the uniforms that the Border Patrol wears. They had the higher-up guy testifying the other day. It's a goddamn Nazi uniform.
Well, you've got a Border Patrol guy out there who's been stone-cold busted for talking shit on migrants right before he, you know, killed one, ran one over. It's just another element of proof of the fascism into which we have descended.
I'm so glad Nancy Pelosi, and I'm serious about these uniforms. It looked like Hugo Boss. I mean, this shit, it looked like, let me tell you, it's so outrageous. The uniform that, I think he was a top executive in that organization, because he was testifying to Congress. And I saw it after Congress read, the Democrats read the whole Mueller report. I mean, it's on C-SPAN. You can listen to it. They read it. It's on, it takes about 14 minutes.
Hey, Todd, I think we're going to have to, we'll have to pursue the conversation at another juncture, because something about this is not staying stable, and probably has to do with the fact that it's thundering outside, and here in the last couple of years of the 21st century, the internet in West Virginia won't stay up when there's fucking thunder, so... Yeah, I'm showing an internet connection that's all the way damn down, which is kind of weird. Ah, Jesus, hold on here. Very strange indeed. Well, isn't that just great? Well, nonetheless, somebody is over on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Matt from up in Humboldt.
Hey, Matt. How are you? Hey, before we get started, I need to send some thanks out to Louie. Thank you, Louie, for getting us down to $20 to go on Tom's challenge. So thanks, Louie. Thank you very much, and hopefully we'll get to knock
you
that other
go,
$20
you
bucks
go,
out.
Louie.
Yes, indeed. How are you, Matt?
Go, Louie. Oh, hanging in there. I'm kind of bummed out today.
About what?
Well, I just caught you and Todd talking, and just in the midst of everything. Well, first of all, you probably know, to borrow very heavily from Bob Seska, I kind of lost my spadoinkle in some communiques with Dr. Bill over the last few days. Oh, this godforsaken Alabama situation.
Well, how so?
Oh, just the contradiction between the what the governor had to say about every life is precious.
Oh, and then signing the death warrant? Sure.
Signing the death warrant the next day. And the executee, as it turns out, was a African-American gentleman, and he was executed at a place called Nathan Bedford Forrest State Prison.
Oh, dear.
And so it just, you know, and so I came on. I actually called in to Dr. Bill yesterday.
Yeah, I know that.
With Dr. Bill, Agnes was struggling with the stress line, but it sounds fine today.
Yeah, it's just a matter of having to tweak it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and today, what's kind of got me today is that we've lost two more musical heavy hitters this week. These guys are of the reggae variety.
Yeah.
One is George Humbert, better known as Toots and the Maydles. He passed away on Monday, and then yesterday we lost another guy that is not well known by name. His name was Dwayne Spider, and he was all over the place. He was a studio musician for quite a while. He was part of Desmond Dekker's backup band, the Aces, and I think he was with the Specials for a time, and if I'm not mistaken, he was studio musician for Toots and the Maydles, and he's gone. And
sorry to hear.
I know it just.
Well, did you hear? Did you hear? Speaking of losing people, did you hear that? We knew that so far we'd killed about five little kids in our concentration camp system. Did you hear that there
uh-huh.
was? Did you hear that there was one that they had been covering up since September of last year? Another one? We're up to six. We're on the way to double digits.
Jeez. I did not need to hear this today. You know, here's a thought, and I'm putting something together that I probably will eventually share with Dr. Bill. when you were a kid, and when you were young, was rheumatic fever a thing?
I'd heard of it, but it was along the lines of scarlet fever. It wasn't something that, you know.
Yeah, it's a complication of a streptococcus infection, like a strep throat or scarlet fever. And it was it's the reason why the reason why scarlet fever was so put the fear of God into everybody, because you know, prior to antibiotics becoming available, people often got rheumatic fever as a result of strep throat or scarlet fever, and so that's it's much more serious. And given the nature of the disease, what my thesis is, you know, what if we were to think about this country as a whole, all the people in it, and all the various dynamics that are going on? It seems to me that perhaps this country has a collective severe case of rheumatic fever.
Probably a good analogy. Does it also include insensibility?
Well, what happens is rheumatic fever occurs when, you know, your body makes antibodies that kill off the strep germs. With so you can get, go without antibiotics, and it'll eventually go away. But the antibodies tend to go haywire and start to attack healthy tissue. Basically, it starts to destroy body tissues, and it can take out the heart muscle. That's one reason why people have to get heart valve replacements.
Sure.
And there's swelling of the joints, and that can lead to blindness, and kidney failure. The reason I thought of this was, back in the day, when I was living in Atlanta and working for CDC, we actually had it. There was a cluster of rheumatic fever cases. They were in the area of southwest Atlanta where the people... It wasn't so much people couldn't afford health care, although that was a factor, but it was just it was not readily available. Whether or not you had insurance or could otherwise afford it, there weren't any doctors or clinics or anything like that within this particular part of town where people lived. And so people got strep throats and just gutted it out, I guess. And then all of a sudden we started having these cases of what turned out to be rheumatic fever showing up, and at first nobody knew what it was. because it was people were showing symptoms that it was just not recognized because, you know, the disease had been considered for declaration of being eliminated in the U.S., much like the measles was. And so what I see is the various factions of people with on the Democratic side, you've got your Purity Brigade and you got your Third Wayers and your all these different strains, and then you got your maggots, hardcore maggots. You got a few people that are kind of on the fence, although that's getting fewer and fewer, and the country is just destroying itself.
Like I said, good analogy. Hey, we've got a question in the chat room, Matt. Where did you hear about a Nathan Bedford Forrest State Prison?
I believe I ran across that. There was something about the execution from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, but I don't think that was... I'm not aware of any prison in Alabama named Nathan Bedford Forrest Prison. Even Alabama wouldn't. I mean, that's a racism too far even for Alabama, and that's saying something. Plus the fact is he was a Tennessean.
Okay. Well, somebody. Well, you know how the internet is. But the Southern Poverty Law Center did carry a live stream of the debate of the legislative session of the abortion bill. So I did tune into that. Yeah, so that may have been. Yeah, I guess that was probably. Oh, God. God almighty. Here I am trying to stay above board, and even I fall for.
Yeah, you got to be. You got to just pay close attention. Hey, Matt, I'm going to move on because well, I got other calls coming in, and I'm having a devil of a time getting the program out. The internet's just being a hot mess. So you take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon, all right?
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Later.
All right.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. And, hey, we've got about a half hour left in the program. And we got $20 to go to finish Tom's challenge. Please don't leave that thing laying on the table. And then we'll have only $2.45 to go to finish up to this point. Okay. We got a storm blowing through here, and that's why it's been so difficult to keep the program going. The severe thunderstorm warning called for 60-mile-an-hour winds here, and golf ball sized hail, so if this program disappears rather precipitously, you'll know why. I mean, we are, thanks to a very generous member of the community, well protected against surges, and we've got emergency, we've got uninterruptible power supplies and everything, but it doesn't do diddly in terms of making Frontier keep the internet on. So that's where that stands. Let's go back over to the stress line and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia.
Hey, Reggie, what's up, man?
Well, did you see? I know you don't watch talk shows or TV of any kind, but did you see Howard Stern on The View just last week? And did you see who was gushing all over him, oogling?
I saw the Stern clip from the Colbert Show. He's out hustling a book, so that's why he's popping up.
Yeah, but he also popped up. Yeah, go ahead, Bob. Well, he also popped up on The View, and you know, Meghan McCain was gushing all over him, and she's his avid listener of his radio talk show. And
well, of course she
is.
She's
been on the show a few times, and well, see, Joy wanted to talk to him about Donald Trump, but he instead wanted to talk about Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know why. She had nothing to do with that, you know, segment or interview. But you know, I guess he practically took over the show, and he said that they should give Meghan McCain a chance because she's being yelled at and screamed at by the rest of the co-host of The View. That's what he said. That's what Howard Stern said. You know, that she's being verbally assaulted.
Oh, of course.
And she also wants to be taken.
Reggie, stand by for a minute. I got to check out something here. I think that golf ball size hail has arrived. I'll be right back. Stand by. Stand by. I'm just checking on the... Yeah. Sorry about that, Reggie, but I just checked to see, and yeah, my car's getting the crap knocked out of it by hail.
Right. Well, as I said,
hopefully I'll have a windshield by the time this is done.
Right. Right. Well, like I said before, Bob, he was telling that they and everybody else should give her a chance. You know, she's being verbally assaulted. You know that. You know, the millennial snowflake is verbally being attacked by the other co-host of The View. And she also wants to be taken extremely, very, very seriously whenever she has an opinion or she wants to say something or express different views that are different from the rest of the co-host of The View, you know, like Joy and Whoopi. She especially, and even Sonny, she especially wants them to respect her views, opinion, and yes, oh yes, her millennial snowflake feeling. What you
got to
say about that, Bob?
Hey, Reggie, I hate to it, but I'm gonna have to ring off, man. Things are getting a little bit real around here, okay?
All right, man.
Yeah, I got to go. Later. Not kidding. Things are getting ugly. So I'm going to sign off. Y'all be well. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.